Portland. Gaining Ground tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practice so they can feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. The documentary interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists, large farms in transition, and small family farmers. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st, at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
2, 3, 4.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present A Hard Day's Night as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. The Beatles made this film in 1964 as they portray a rock and roll band traveling from Liverpool to London for a television broadcast, and wackiness ensues. Again, that's A Hard Day's Night, Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
From the spark that kicked off the fire of invention, I'm picking up where I left it, amongst the majestic high desert, trying to stay unarrested. I roam like a ronin with my family in tow, honing the mic, it's the blade and my voice is the stone. I can't watch your throne, I'm busy watching my home, can't chase the cool kids, I'm busy.
I'm DMA Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from playwright and musician Idris Goodwin, and you can hear his music at, and his new rhyming, new album, Rhyming While Black, on his SoundCloud page, and I have that link at stageandstudio.org. We're featuring his play, How We Got On. It's the season opener for Portland Playhouse. We'll hear from the director, the music director, and an actress from the production, which is about to open September 30th, running through October 25th at Portland Playhouse. We'll also be joined by the playwright himself, Idris Goodwin, via phone. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio.
Calm, quiet, silent, alone. Write a song trying to share everything that I've known. Trying to leave impressions on all of the time zones I've flown. On occasion, face a nation that's narrowly drawn. Whose arenas I have.
I'm DMA Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio, our director, Jen Rowe. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Well, thank
you haven't
you
been
much.
Here before, so welcome.
Thank you.
And music director Mike Crenshaw, who also happens to be our co-station manager here at KBOO. First time on my show, Mike.
Yep.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. It's great to have you here.
Good to be here.
I see you all the time. And actress Ithaca Tell.
Hey.
Hey, Ithaca. Welcome back. It's great to see you again.
Thanks so much.
It's been a while.
It's good to be here.
It's been a while. They're all from Portland Playhouse's production of Idris Goodwin's How We Got On. And so I'm going to welcome you all to Stage and Studio. How We Got On is set in 1988. It's about three teenagers who live in the suburbs in the Midwest, and they dream of becoming famous as hip-hop artists. Jen, who are these teenagers? Tell us about them.
Well, we have the character of Hank, who has big aspirations and big dreams. Excuse me. He's living in the middle of white suburbia, and he is just being exposed to Yo MTV Raps, which has just gone mainstream on TV. And that excites him, and that develops a dream within him to become the next biggest rap star on Yo MTV Raps. And then we have Julian, who is someone who connects with the identity of being a rapper, but not necessarily the craft of what it means to write poetry or rhymes. And they start to work together to figure out how they're going to get on together. And then we have Luann, who comes in, and she is also 15. And she basically educates the boys in how to best achieve their dreams.
I like that already.
And then we also have the selector who Ithaca plays, and she is our educational component slash our nostalgic component to the play.
You're almost a historian then in some respects. Yeah,
it's the show that is happening is for the selector's audience, so she has sculpted this program based around these kids to sort of educate the world from whatever time she is in. She could be in the future, she could be just, you know, it could be the 90s, it could be, you know, 2023. But she is there to remind us that hip hop was not only an urban experience, it was a global experience.
Wow. So you're not necessarily with the characters. You are sort of this omniscient, omnipresent kind of omniscient person who comes in and tells us all.
Inside and outside the play, in that she plays, she sort of embodies all of the superfluous characters in the lives of these teenagers.
So, you give us context.
Yeah, I get to play fathers and teachers and teenagers. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's good. All those multiple roles. Yeah. That's always fun to do. Well, Jen, you were mentioning MTV. And I happen to remember when MTV used to show music videos. And it was such an eye-opening and connecting way for people to find out about music and musicians. And that was a big moment in history. Mm-hmm. Is that covered a little bit in the play itself? Just that connection of being inspired by what they see?
Yeah, that's pretty much the driving force of the characters wanting to get on. That's they're in the middle of white suburbia, and Yo MTV Raps airs for the first time and before their school year starts. And so that's what pushes the story along and develops this dream of Hank's that he then figures out how to get the people around him to help him get to achieve that dream and achieve those goals.
Is there a specific place in suburbia that you mentioned?
It's the middle. Idris is brilliant in his sculpting of this, and I tried to find where they could possibly live. They're not in Chicago, they're not in Detroit, they're not in Ohio, and they're not in Indiana.
Wow.
So I don't know, could they be in Toronto, Canada, maybe? Could they be in Geauga County, Ohio? Possibly not. But it is that it's America's breadbasket, and it's a place that is considered strictly white for the most part, and children that are in this part of town are probably there because their parents moved out of the urban center and into the suburban outlying areas. My family was one of those families, so I sort of resonate with the teenagers in that respect.
Well, we have somebody trying to enter the studio right now.
Visitor.
Hello, visitor. I don't think it was Idris. He's on the phone. No. So we'll have to ask him about that, right? We'll have to ask him about where is this set? So, Jen, who are the other cast members? Let's mention them, give them a shout out.
Sure. Joseph Gibson is playing Hank / John Henry, which is his nom de plume as a rapper. Julian, who also goes by Vic Vicious, is being played by Chip Sherman. And Luann Finnis is being played by Ashley Williams.
The production photos of all of them are very fun.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
They're so vibrant, alive.
Yeah, they are about if these kids could achieve their dreams, what would they look like? What would that look like for them? Yeah.
It's beautiful. It sounds like just such a fun show to see, also have a historical context.
Absolutely.
What has it been like, Mike, for you to work on it? It's set in the golden age of hip hop. What is that? What is the golden age?
Well, you know, I joke around and say I've been bringing back 88 since 89. But it's an era in which I came of age, actually. So a lot of the cultural influences on these young people are things that I actually experience in my life. And I relate to the characters in that regard. And being able to go back and take a look at the stuff, have an opportunity to be the musical director for the play, is actually an opportunity for me to fall in love with hip hop in a way I just haven't had time to. Mm-hmm. In 20-some years.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm getting to listen to these old songs, and I'm getting to remember how they actually influenced me and shaped my identity and my thinking.
They really inspired you.
They really did. And so it's a lot of fun in that regard. It's actually deeper than I anticipated.
You sent me a couple of links to mm-hmm. some of the music that is influencing the show. And it took me back to think about how production has changed so much. But let's hear, let the listeners hear, because there is a different style that okay. isn't being done as much anymore. We have a piece of music that you're using. Is it from the show itself? It's MC Light. Are you using that?
Yeah, he names MC Light, and we'll be playing some pre-show MC Light. And he definitely, Idris names that those are the influences. So the music that I sent are the influences of the characters.
Well, let's hear. This one's called Paper Thin. Let's listen to it.
When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It goes into my head as just chit-chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Cause I hate when one attempts to analyze. In fact, I despise those who even try to look into my eyes to see what I am thinking. That dream is over, your yacht is sinking. I tell all of you like I told all of them. What you say to me is just paper thin. Word.
While we're listening to that, I'm just wondering, you know, it seems to be there's this raw, energetic style, especially raw in production. Mm-hmm. And it seems like more things are more overproduced, not overproduced, but more produced than they are.
Right.
Is that the basic difference from the 80s style rap than what we would hear now?
There is an authenticity of the personalities and the characteristics of the people and the identity that I think shine through in 80s rap that gets a little bit lost and overproduction and hyped up images and the creation of these like caricatures. There's only about 3 or 4 caricatures that we get oversaturated with now, whereas I think back then there was more of a diverse,
more personality too.
Yeah, across the board there were more different types of personalities. You know, you could listen to somebody like MC Light, like we're listening to right now, and you can hear that there's a hard edge to what she's saying, but there's also humor, there's mm-hmm. also fun. So you're like, you're trying to figure out, okay, she sounds like she's from some place that has maybe shaped her and given her a little bit of a harder quality, but she's not talking about guns, she's not talking about selling dope, she's mm-hmm. not talking about killing people, you know, so there was
right.
just...
And there were no swear words in this at all.
No.
You know? It was just beautiful poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved it. Were there more women back then too?
You know,
rapping?
There's I can remember MC Light, I can remember Salt-N-Pepa, I can remember Roxanne Shanté, mm-hmm. I can remember Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there were necessarily more women,
but
again, the depth of the characteristics mm-hmm. and the character of the women and how they were presented and what they said about themselves mm-hmm. was a lot more diverse than what we're hearing today. What
Absolutely.
We hear today, again, it's like you're only going to hear maybe one type of personality that's promoted, you know, when you look at Nicki Minaj or, you know, even I don't know, I don't want to get into talking
about but folks. But it's different, and I love that there was this vibrancy and as you say, authenticity mm-hmm. to the music. So is that what we capture in the play? Is yeah. that what it's all about?
Hip-hop had a playfulness in the beginning that the industry and the course of sort of gaining revenue in the industry has bought out. There isn't as much party in the music as there used to be. They found out which one made the most money, and everyone sort of catered to that. And I that's not a fault of the artist. I think it's a fault of the industry. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fault of the individuals who decide what the world gets to listen to. That is what sculpted the change in the music, in the popular music. Outside in the indie world, there are a lot of forward thinking poets who don't have to step down to degrading women or being harder than everyone else or having more guns than everyone else or having more money than everyone else. There is this universal sort of hippie side of hip hop that is all love and fun.
Right,
and it started that way, but it got bought out.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts with my guest Ithaca Tell, who was just talking, and Director Jen Rowe and Music Director Mike Crenshaw from Portland Playhouse's production How We Got On by Idris Goodwin. Performances are September 30th through October 25th, Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. at Portland Playhouse. That's located at 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. For more info, visit portlandplayhouse.org or visit stageandstudio.org. And joining us right now via phone is Idris Goodwin. Hello, Idris, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
Oh, good. It's so good to hear your voice. Where are you located right now?
I'm in Colorado. I teach at a little liberal arts college in Colorado Springs called Colorado College.
Oh, well, we're so we're thrilled that you could join us, and we have everybody here who would also like to talk to you. Now, you're a musician and a playwright, and it seems you have blended both worlds together in How We Got On. What was your inspiration for this play?
This is me doing that thing that they tell you not to do. They say try not to write what you know. Try to step outside and do something different and expand your horizons. So after many years of doing that and building up some skills, I sort of said, okay, now is the time to actually write what I know and you know, try to do it, in a new and interesting way. And so that was the goal, was to try to tell a familiar story in an unfamiliar way. And so the coming-of-age story is very familiar. It's very, very ancient. But what's unfamiliar about it is, you know, the coming of age story about, you know, this particular demographic at this particular time in this moment in history. Mm-hmm. But then even to take it a step further, I wanted to try to, how do I create the effect of, you know, the mixtapes that I used to listen to, you know, where there would be, you know, a DJ blending records and talking over records and spinning records forward and back and blending them all together. How could I do that in dramatic form? How could I do that with scenes? You know, what would happen when a scene, you know, was blended or scratched over into another scene? And so that was all the ingredients for the gumbo.
It sounds like it's very personal to you. So was that you? Was that you in the 80s coming of age? Is are there parts of you in this play?
Well, these kids are more talented than me.
Modest.
But yeah, more or less, you know what I mean? I was a, you know, big-eyed dreamer and, you know, a nerd and, you know, and looking for an outlet, looking for something to say, trying to figure out what he, you know, who he wanted to be. And so in a way it is, you know, my wife and I argue about this all the time because she's a creative nonfiction writer, and she always says the play's autobiographical, and I say it's actually not autobiographical. You know, it's definitely drawn from the well of my experience, but it's not necessarily my story. And I say that only to say that my intention was to try to create something that I felt like was generationally, like this is a story of my generation. I think for you know, not all of them, but a key part of the, you know, of that, you know, that experience, that I wasn't the only one having this experience in the suburbs in that moment in time. A lot of people were in that moment in 88 when Young TV Raps dropped. So I wanted to try to speak to that, you know, across location and environment, you know, to everyone else who was in their room in 1988, you know, taping Young TV Raps and trying to do the Ed Lover dance and, you know, wearing the hat backward to school and getting clowned for it, you know.
Well, I read in one of the reviews that, I mean, the 80s don't seem that far away to me, but I read in one of the reviews that from other productions that it's sort of a visit with nostalgia. And do you think that's a little bit accurate?
Yeah, I mean, why not? That wasn't my goal. I mean, I'll say that. Like, it wasn't my objective to be like, I'm just gonna, you know, weren't the 80s great? It was more about, it was more about 88 was the year that rap stopped being just something that you would hear occasionally, or if you lived in an urban area or something like that. Rap is now, you know, in everyone's home. You know what I mean? So, you know, Sugar Hill Gang put out Rapper's Delight, you know, I said a hip-hop, a hippie to the hip-hop, you don't stop rocking, in 1979. So, you know, people had heard rap music, but it wasn't until 1988 where suddenly, if you're in a rural community, a suburban community in middle America, suddenly these rappers are in your living room every day. And that, to me, was what I was interested in. And it just happened to be 88. Now, if that had happened in 2000, if that had happened in 1965, that's where the play had been set. So I was drawn to that more than I was drawn to, like, a specific era. I was just drawn to that cultural moment because I felt like it was pretty significant.
There was some discussion on earlier in the show about where it's actually set in the Midwest. Do you have any clues for us? Or news?
Well, you know, that's the thing about suburbs, right? Is the whole idea behind a suburb is that it sort of looks like every other suburb. And so so the whole idea of suburbia is to kind of, you know, homogenize it a little bit. And so that's why it's not specific, because it really could be, you know, anywhere where you were living that was outside of, you know, the urban area, where a culture like hip hop, you know, cultures like hip hop are born, you know, are typically born in urban environments, you know. And so these suburbs, it's any suburb, you know what I mean? Any suburb America is where it could be.
Well, I'm going to open up the mics here because I think everybody might have a question for you. Jen, do you, as the director of the show, do you want to, any last minute input from the playwright?
Oh, man, it's nice to connect with you, Idris.
Oh, yeah, you too, Jen. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, we're in the middle of tech. We have our first audience tomorrow night. Everyone's really excited. You're
so good
posting about it all over.
Right. How about you, Mike, as the music director?
No, I'm just excited to be able to work on this play, Jason. Looking forward to connecting with you more when you come to town, even though you'll only be here for a night.
You will be here.
Yeah, October 10th, right?
Oh, I did not know that. So is there going to be a special talk back with Idris then on October 10th? Oh, I guess that's news to everybody.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe we should create one. any other comments, Mike, or questions?
No, I'm just excited to see how the audience responds. And I know that, you know, it's been a lot of fun watching the actors do their own choreography and work their butts off. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed.
Yeah, they love this.
Lots of choreography. Yeah.
Not necessarily a lot of choreography, but they love this show.
Yeah.
Being an actor, being in your 20s or 30s and getting to go back to live this era and represent this
era.
Must
be fun.
It's got to be. It's a blast.
I mean, yeah. I was just thinking about all the 80s styles, too.
Yeah.
So they're really getting
into
that, right?
It's kind of nice because I'm the only one in the cast who was actually a functioning almost adult in 1988.
Like alive?
I was 17 in 88. So I feel this from the same place I think that Mike does, that we were there when it happened. And to see this cast sort of embody all these people that I knew as a kid. I mean, I knew these kids. This is sort of a bit of my life. Plus, I get to play the selector and have this other portion of my life sort of incorporated into the story. Just being, I don't know, something about being in the booth is a wonderful place to see the story from, because it's all there in front of me. Plus, I'm a part of it. It's fantastic, and I'm so grateful that you put it down for us.
Well, in some ways, Ithaca, do they come to you like, well, so what did people do in the 80s?
No.
Like, what did they dress like?
Or? there is a line in the show that Hank has about the kids in the suburb at this point, black kids, white kids, and otherwise, basically being stuck, well, not stuck, but comfortable listening to strictly pop music. And I was one of those pop music kids. I had a connection to the early influences of hip hop, but the later influences sort of escaped me. And then when the stuff started coming from the gangster rap business, I just had to step away from, because I'm a girl. It was scary to me.
Well, Idris, how do you feel listening to some of these comments about the production?
Oh, it's very exciting and very gratifying. I mean, ultimately, I write plays like How We Got On, you know, to galvanize certain types of artists together to be in conversation. You know, I mean, that's how I see plays, or the role of the playwright is to create the first spark, or almost create the invitation to bring artists together first, and then the audience to gather with the artists, you know, to have this kind of, you know, direct and indirect, you know, conversation. And so I love hearing about, you know, someone with a background like Mike, you know, joining up with someone with a background like Jennifer Rowe and with the cast and everything and the conversations artistically and intellectually that are going to spark. So for me, it's just, it's very gratifying to be on the other end of this phone and hear, you know, how everybody's been having conversations and working hard and all of this. It's just, it just makes me very happy because that's my whole objective is to just get people, you know, get people together. You know what I mean? To and then I get to jump into the conversation, you know, in a couple weeks. So yeah, I'm very.
It's very exciting. What else are you working on now? I know you just released a new album.
Yeah. You know, I put an album out called Rhyming While Black at the top of the year. And I'm teaching full time, and I'm raising my kid, and then I'm writing a lot. I'm actually working on a play for Your Neighbors to the North. I want to say.
Well, I was going to say. Ashland, well, actually, the South. But I was going to mention that you have been chosen for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's American History Cycle Commission,
correct.
And that is such a wonderful honor, and it's great that you are part of that. It's an incredible project. What will you be writing, or what are you writing with them?
Well, I'm at the very early stages of it, and it's a play about. It's sort of the prelude to the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, and it's about the survey groups that they sent out west to just assess the feasibility of it. And so that's really the sort of the premise of it. And right now I'm just neck deep in research and just reading a lot. But ultimately it's a bit of an exploration of just, you know, what the West was like before it was cut through with the railroads and who were the tribes and
massive changes, massive. Well, we look forward.
It's a big play.
It is a big play, and we look forward to that. We look forward to your play here in Portland and for you to be here on October 10th, too. So kudos for everything. It was so great that we could connect today. And thank you for joining us, Idris Goodwin, author of How We Got On. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and break a leg, team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Demay Roberts, and we're in the final moments here of Stage and Studio with Jennifer Rowe, Mike Crenshaw, and Ithaca Tell from How We Got On at Portland Playhouse. How was it to talk with Idris?
You know? Yeah. I mean,
great.
It's great to hear him, to hear his support and his enthusiasm and his love for this play. I have been watching videos of him. I feel like I know him already because I've researched so much about him and watched him on TV shows and listened to his albums. And yeah, so it's fantastic to just finally hear his voice in relation to mine.
Well, you've been doing tech and you're in the final stages. You're going to get an audience tomorrow as a preview. How is it going? I mean, you know, this is good shape. Everything good?
Yeah, I do. I think that we're in really good shape. One of the challenges about this show, which you guys were talking about a little bit earlier, is about what the production value could be, because in the 80s there was such low production value. And so what we're going through right now in tech is trying to figure out that balance of what what is overproduction, what is not, what is actually supporting the play, what is not. But in terms of the acting and in terms of the story, we're pretty much there.
Well, Ithaca, I have a really hard question for you to answer, like in about 30 seconds.
Oh, goodness.
Is it a better climate? Because I've known you since 2001. Is it a better climate for African-American actors right now?
Why did you wait till now to ask me this question? I will say yes, it is much better. And one of the things that I think How We Got On really helps show is that it is possible to have a black story that does not involve the misery of the African-American experience, but the buoyancy. And the joy of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that stands out in this play,
there's
doesn't
no
it?
Slavery. There's no, you know,
it's not
none
a history lesson
it's
in
not.
That respect, but it's about the music and about these
absolutely.
Kids.
But
absolutely.
I think it's important to note that is an absent from the consciousness of the play
so
and the characters.
True.
You know, it's still there. That real part of the experience is still there, although we don't speak explicitly to it. So.
Mm-hmm. So there's so much depth, but it's also something about the human, I guess, about hope and optimism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
and new beginnings.
A lot of layers.
Yeah.
And new beginnings.
We have kids who are just growing up and figuring out what it means to be adult, just like this movement is growing up and figuring out what it's going to become.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer Rowe, Mike Crenshaw, Ithaca Tell, from How We Got On at Portland Playhouse. It's been so great to talk with you all. It's just been a really vibrant conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, break legs.
Thank you.
This week. Thank you so much. I wish you really great success on this opening. How We Got On at Portland Playhouse, September 30th through October 25th. Shows Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Sundays 2 p.m., Portland Playhouse, 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. For more info, visit portlandplayhouse.org or stageandstudio.org. We'll have a podcast and photos and links. Before we go today, one last announcement. Passin' Art Theater, Tommy J and Sally by Mark Madoff. It's a modern-day twist on the Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings relationship, leading to a discussion on racial injustice and diversity between an African-American man and a Jewish woman. And it's directed by Andrea White. All shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center Theater, yay, IFCC, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. Shows are October 9th through November 8th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., with Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. And you can visit boxofficetickets.com or passinart.net for more info, or 503-235-8079. So that's it for Stage and Studio. Subscribe to the podcast on stageandstudio.org or facebook.com/stage_and_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. More music by Idris Goodwin.
Hustle for every dime, legal money ain't never broke. The words that I spoke have made me a buck or two. Eat good, live comfortable from language.
When you hear this signal,
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How We Got On at the Portland Playhouse. Wednesday through Sundays until October 25th. Directed by Jen Rowe, How We Got On is the story of three teenagers in the suburbs of the Midwest who dream of fame in the golden age of hip-hop in the late 80s. That's How We Got On, Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. through October 25th at the Portland Playhouse, 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hip-hopping is the thing that's in. It's where the Stone Cold Nitro party begins. So listen, party people with the ear to the street, the college professor and the social elite, to the fly young guys and the pretty girl. IT is gonna tell you about the hip-hop world. Hip-hopping is a way of life.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Stuart Harvey, a photographer whose show Burning Man Pas de Deux